Job, ladies, sure thank God for that, and it is humbling to think that such a great God would care for us, someone like us. That's a real blessing. So I just want to say I'm really glad to get to be here with you all at this wonderful camp, and I love the spirit that's here already, and the good congregational singing. Brother Graham got a workout while he's leading us and did a great job with that. I'm song leader all over the place. I love it, you know, so that's really a blessing, and I've had a good meal with you, and I'm looking forward to getting to know many of you. Some I know, but most I don't, so I'm really glad to get to be here. And how about a lack of humidity like this? This is pretty nice, you know. This is cool weather for us in Oklahoma, you know. I mean, this is pretty nice here, and so I'm really thankful to have the opportunity to get to preach camp, and I'll tell you primarily why, because of what God's done in those of you. You've been to camp before. I believe God uses a week like this in a very special way. In fact, I started to preach at camp August 1st, 1991. So that was just this past week. So this is a special week looking back on it. And I'll tell you this, I've never regretted letting God have my life. You know, and that's really why that you're here this week, young people and all of us alike, is just let God work in your heart here during this camp week. And I think if you come into this saying, God, speak to me, we need Him to speak to us, right? And He wants to speak to you. That if you come in with that kind of heart, I know God will use a week like this to really get your attention and give you the guidance that you need. If you're not saved, He wants to save you. And if you are saved, He wants to help you grow. And you got some big decisions ahead and you need Him. And so I know people back home are praying for this week. I know many have been bathing this in prayers, as it was already mentioned. And I'm just trusting that God's going to do something special. So let's take your Bibles, get right to it here. Judges chapter number 14. Would you stand in honor of God's Word? Judges in chapter number 14. Judges and chapter number 14. We're just going to look at the first, really, 9 verses. We'll read through verse number 10 to help us get started here. And I know most of you are familiar with the book of Judges, but I'd like to do a little bit of work on that even as we get started. I appreciate, Brother Grohl, the invitation. We've been looking forward to this for a long time, you know, and so I don't take it lightly, that God can use this week. I'm praying, obviously, that He would. And so let's read now in Judges chapter 14 and verse number 1. It says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, or among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me. What does it say next? For she pleaseth me well. She pleaseth me well. The idea is, well, she's right in my eyes. In fact, a major theme of the book of Judges, if you know it, in chapter 21 and verse 25, is that every man did that which was what? Right in their own eyes. And here it is, Samson saying, well, she's right in my eyes. She pleaseth me well. All right, let's keep reading here a little bit. Verse number 4, his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. You know what basically that verse means? It basically means this: God's even more concerned about your separation than even what you are and your spiritual well-being. And so God was intervening here. Does not at all mean that He's the author of evil. He can't be. He's too holy, of course. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. All right, verse 5. Then went Samson down and his father and mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath. And behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would have rent a kid." Now, for clarity, that means a goat. just in case you're wondering. All right, and he had nothing in his hand. Notice this, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. Verse 7, and he went down. Notice in several times here it emphasizes that he went down. I realize that's geographically, but this man's going down more than just in geography. He's going down spiritually. He went down, it says in verse 7, and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. And after time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. And he took thereof in his hands and went on eating. And came to his father and his mother, and he gave them. And they did eat, but he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So his father went down unto the woman, and Samson made there a feast. By the way, that word feast there is not the word like we you'd see feast of like tabernacles or the feast of unleavened bread. This is a drunken party. That's what this is referring to. This is the same word for feast that's used in the book of Esther, and how that they had a great feast and there was a lot of alcohol that was flowing. That's what Samson's involved in. All right? For so used the young men to do. Okay, so here's the title of the message to help us get started tonight. An appetite for the forbidden. An appetite for the forbidden. I want you to think about that with me here just a little bit. An appetite for the forbidden. The danger of living for pleasure rather than your purpose. The danger of living for pleasure rather than your purpose. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to get right after it here tonight, okay? Father, thank you for every young man. Thank you for every young lady that's here, Lord, tonight. Thank you for paying their way for them to be here. Thank you, dear God, for every pastor and pastor's wife and youth pastor wife. Thank you for all the youth workers. Thank you for the bus drivers and van drivers, God, keeping them safe on the road. Thank you, dear God, for this camp, this property, and Lord, Brother Eric and others that are working diligently to make it a good week. So now, God, we know that without the help of the Holy Spirit, that we're here in vain. But God, we believe that we serve and know, based on your word and eyewitness account, that we serve a risen Savior. And I praise you for that, dear God. I thank you for these young people. It's our heart that they might see your purpose for their life, dear God. Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, would you use the men that'll preach in the mornings? God, would you use the devotional times, both the private, quiet time, as well as camp, cabin devotions, if they have those, Lord, I just pray that you would work through your word in this week, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Somebody said this, that a person only needs two tools, just two tools in life to make things work. WD-40 to make things go, and duct tape to make things stop. Duct tape works great on all kinds of things. I mean, you can fix anything with duct tape, nearly anything with duct tape. Your car breaks down, use duct tape, right? If the bumper falls off, use duct tape. You need a new wallet? Make one out of duct tape. I mean, you know, duct tape works well for everything except ductwork. Isn't that crazy? I mean, that's what it was designed to do, but it works well for everything, literally. I don't know if there's some HVAC people in here that could verify what I'm saying, but that's the case, is that it doesn't stick to ductwork, you know, like for air conditioning units. So it works great for everything, listen, except its purpose. It works great for everything except its purpose. Can I say to you up front here in this week that God's got a purpose for your life? Can I say to you that you're not here by chance? You're not the product of evolutionary processes. No, friend, listen, God spoke and the world came into existence, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made by a great and eternal God. Hey, you are not an accident here today, and God's got a purpose for your life, and he wants to use your life. But listen, if he's going to use you, then you've got to live for the purpose that he has for your life rather than your own purpose. And I believe that today a lot of Christians are good for just about everything except for their purpose. We're here this week to let God, through his word and through his people, use his word and other examples in your life to help you to see what your purpose is. I'm so thankful that as a 15-year-old, I began to understand what God was doing in my life and that he was beginning to call me even into the ministry. I never have regretted that. I thank God for that. And as we come here to the book of Judges, what we're looking at is a man that had a very distinct purpose that God had for his life. I mean, there are other judges like Ehud and that was the left-handed man, you know, that stabbed Eglon and lost his knife. And there's others like Othniel. Othniel is the first judge of Israel. His name means Lion of God. I mean, I love that name. You know, if you're thinking about boy names for some time, think about Othniel. That just sounds strong, doesn't it? Othniel. Call him Otto for short. I don't know, something like that, you know. And so anyways, you got Othniel and you got Ehud and you got others that are the judges of Israel. They're military leaders, but here's what they were supposed to do. They were supposed to be a reflection of God's holiness to a nation that had lost their way spiritually. That's what they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be a reflection of the holiness of God to a people, the people of God, that had lost their understanding that their God was holy and they were to be holy. You see, God had brought them out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the promised land. And under Joshua and his leadership, they began to take city after city, like Jericho and eventually Ai and all the other cities. They began to make great progress. But here's the problem. Over the process of time, and after that generation of Joshua was off the scene, instead of looking more like God, they began to look more like the world that was around them. And that's really why we have camp, and that's why you don't have your phone this week. Amen? You don't have your phone, do you? No, you don't have your phone. You think you're going to make it? You're going to be all right? Hey, you're like 6 hours into this, and you're doing fine. It's going to be okay. Hey, you know what's going on, really? It's this. God's got a purpose for your life. And what needs to happen here this week is for you to kind of get detached from all that's going on around you so you can hear God's voice very clearly. Because he's got a purpose for your life, and he wants to use you. And it'd be great here tonight that if you'd let God use you this week and speak to you this week, that God could spare you a whole lot of heartache. He could spare you a whole lot of heartache. He could keep you from messing your life up. You know, the only thing that has to happen, by the way, for you to mess your life up is for God to let you have your own way. That's it, just for you to have your own way. You'd be real good, and I'd be real good at making a big old mess of my life, almost like I had a plan for how bad I could make it. I mean, you get here to the book of Judges, and you look at the life of Samson, and he's supposed to be the poster child of Israel. I mean, really, that's kind of what he's supposed to be. I mean, of all the judges, he's the one that really is supposed to be the prime example of what it means to live for God. And in fact, by the way, Samson's in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11. The chapter of faith. But I'm telling you, he's a little bit puzzling to me. Because on one hand, he lives for God. On the other hand, he lives for himself. God had a purpose for Samson's life. I want you to understand what God's purpose was for Samson. And I want you to understand what he did in the process of getting away from that purpose. You see, God put a vow on Samson's life, a Nazarite vow, which if you look back in chapter 13, he gave him a mom and a dad. I don't think they were a perfect mom and dad. Not at all, but he gave them a mom and dad that were going to try to lead him in the right way. Would you look at it with me here just a minute? Look at chapter 13. Let's just kind of set the groundwork. This might turn into some preaching here in just a minute. Hang tight. We got to kind of lay some groundwork here if we're going to understand. Look at chapter 13 and verse number 4. It says, "Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not what?" Yeah, drink not wine, nor what? Nor strong drink. Okay, do you see that? Okay, so Samson is not to drink wine nor strong drink. In fact, hang on, wait a minute. Who's this talking to? It's talking to his mom. We got parents in here. Hey, by the way, camp is not just for the teenagers here this week. It's for us as adults as well. Because the parents, and some of you someday are going to be parents. After you get married, you'll have kids, stuff like that, okay? So this is like training. Okay, so the parents, well, listen to this very carefully. The parents were not supposed to give the kids an appetite for the forbidden. So God said to her, don't drink wine, don't drink strong drink. I want to say to you, hey, listen, I'm going to preach a little bit about alcohol this week because I'd be naive to think that your life's not going to be impacted by it. And it's sad to me today that there's quote-unquote Christians or quote-unquote even Baptists that are saying it's okay to drink as long as it's in moderation. Is it okay to commit adultery in moderation? Is it okay to rob from somebody's house in moderation? Like, you know, I went in and I only stole from the living room. I didn't steal from the rest of the house. Is it okay to do that in moderation? No, not at all. In fact, I preached on Samson this summer, and a young man came up to me, and he said, "Brother Gaddis, I've struggled with alcohol as a teenager, and the girlfriend that I have, she thinks it's okay to drink moderately, but I don't think it's all right at all. I don't think God is okay with alcohol." I said, amen, that's exactly right. And then he said this, "And why would you want to drink when we've got chocolate milk?" I thought, amen, brother, that's brilliant. Why you want to drink when you got chocolate milk? Amen. Just stick with chocolate milk. Nobody's had an accident after drinking chocolate milk. Not that I know of. So God said, listen, I don't want you to drink wine. I don't want you to drink strong drink, okay? Look at if you would, verse number 5. We doing all right? Look at chapter 13, verse 5. "For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and know what? No razor shall come on his head, okay? For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of who? The Philistines." They were the ones that had been oppressing the children of Israel at this point. So God says he's going to be a Nazarite. You could go back to Numbers and read a little bit more about the Nazarite vow. But basically, you just need to know this. He's not supposed to drink any alcohol. He's supposed to be against the Philistines. Amen. Probably means he's not supposed to marry one. Right? Probably. No, it does mean that for sure. Okay. So he's not supposed to marry one. He's supposed to fight against the Philistines as it is. Okay. Then look if you would here in verse number 14 of the same chapter, verse number 14 of chapter 13. "She may not eat of anything that cometh of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink." Watch this. "Nor eat of any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe." So again, he's driving it home. Now also, the part of the Nazarite vow here that maybe I'm even overlooking right now is that, oh yeah, there it is, that he's not to touch anything that's been dead. He's not supposed to touch a dead body. Okay? Because he's supposed to be a picture of the living God. Okay? So the parents were supposed to set the right example for the children, and then the children, they were also to give them the right instruction so that in their generation, they would understand how to live for God. Amen. Now listen, that's where we've got a breakdown, is because sometimes parents are not living out the faith that God wants them to live out in their family, and young people see one thing one way on Sunday and another thing on Tuesday.
and another thing on Friday. And it's confusing to you, isn't it? When you see somebody that's supposed to be a Christian and they're not acting like it. Well, God says here, I want the parents to set the right example, and I want them to give them the right instruction to help them to be ready, because battles are coming their way. Okay, now listen, that's why we're here this week, is because you've got battles coming your way, and God wants you to reach your full potential, and He wants to use you to impact your generation for Christ. This is an exciting time to live for God. But it is a very confusing day in our day and time. There's a lot of confusion in your generation. There's a lot of confusion in the book of Judges. A lot of confusion. By the way, one contrast I want to try to bring out in this is that there's also another individual that lived in the days of the Judges that was named Ruth and Boaz. And you're going to make a choice in your life between a Ruth and Boaz kind of life and a Samson and Delilah kind of life. One reads like a trashy novel. Hello? Is that all right to say? That's how it reads. One reads like a beautiful romance story that is godly. Ah! I'm going to vote for that one. The Ruth and Boaz kind of life. Rather than the Samson and the woman of Timnath and the woman of Gaza and the woman of Delilah and the. Okay? In the same day and time, you've got a choice. We're living in a time that's even confused about something as simple as this: male and female. Confused that way. Hey, can't even figure out which bathroom to go to. Now, I've been in the ladies' restroom. But as soon as I figured out where I was, I got me out. In a hurry. But your generation is being taught, well, gender is fluid, and you get to choose which gender that you are, and there's really no difference between little boys and little girls. And they tried to prove that one time at a prestigious college, and they had their clipboards out, and they're taking notes on these little 2 and 3 year old boys, and they gave them dolls to play with. Listen, boys don't play with dolls. They play with action heroes. Amen? Action heroes. So they gave these little boy dolls, and next thing you know, these dolls are flying across the room. Heads are popping off. Why? Because there's a difference between boys and girls. Somebody say amen right there. There's a difference there. You give a boy a stick, before long it's going to be a sword, or it's going to be a machine gun, or it's going to be a bat. I'm just simply saying to you, there's a difference between boys and girls. But now they don't want you to say Mr. Potato Head and Mrs. Potato Head. You're supposed to say Potato Head. I refuse. I will call him Mr. Potato Head, and I shall call her Mrs. Potato Head. And Mr. Potato Head should have the beard, and she should not. She should not have a beard. Is this making sense, or do I need to start all over? No, he should have the beard or mustache. He should, but we're in Wisconsin, let's go with the beard. He should have the beard. She should not. She should carry the purse. He should have no idea how to carry a purse. No, it ought to be the most awkward thing he's ever done in his life to try to carry a purse. Every now and then I have to carry my wife's purse. You know, because like we're trying to leave from church. You know what I mean? When you leave from church, you leave in phases. It's like we talk here for a while, and then we get to this pew. And we talk here, and then we get to this pew and talk here, and there's the door. It just takes a little while. I love it. So every now and then I try to speed up the process, and maybe I grab my wife's purse so that we kind of be out the door. But the way that can I borrow is that that's not a purse, but it's kind of looking like a purse to me. And something like, no man ought to carry something like this. Amen. Now you're good to carry this. This is good. I don't know what this is called, I guess, but anyways, it's nice. I like it for you. Is this yours? Yeah, I'm not going to carry it, okay? If a man's got to carry a purse, it ought to be like it's a dead cat or a dead possum. I have no idea how to carry this. It's something that I'm going to look as awkward as I can because there's a difference between men and women. Thank you. Very nice. All that to say, the days of Judges was a very confusing time. All that to say, the day and time in which we're living is a very confusing time. But listen, even though the time in which you're living is a confusing time, listen, you don't have to be confused. You don't have to be perplexed. You don't have to live a confusing life because God has given us His Word and He's got a purpose for your life that will keep you away from confusion and hurt and disappointment and heartache. All that Samson had just listened to his mom and dad. Well, I think there's something ought to be said right there, don't you? About the relationship between mom and a dad and a son or a daughter. Do you realize that Samson's going to stand eventually between these two posts with his eyes having been poked out? And he's going to die with the Philistines because he thought he could live with them? But all that started because he didn't have a right relationship with his mom and his dad. Oh, if we could push rewind. If we could just tap it back, if we could tap it back to where it all started, it started over here where he saw a woman of the Philistines. He says, I want her. They said, but Sammy? I don't know if they called him Sammy, but that's what I'm going to call him right now. Sammy, don't you know there's some girl in the youth group that you can marry? Huh? Why do you want to go to the Philistines? She pleases me well. She's right in my eyes. I'm going to try not to be too loose, but she's hot. She looks good. We already are, right? It's not junior camp, right? So I'm not going to be inappropriate, but she's beautiful. But do you realize that Proverbs chapter 11 talks about how that as a fair woman without discretion is as a swine with a ring in its nose? Now, I didn't quote that exactly right. You look it up later and do your whole devotions. Some of you young men need to memorize that verse because it's basically saying this. Yes, she's beautiful, and that's kind of like the ring that's in the nose, but she's rather piggish. She's a hog, brother. I'm not talking about her size. I'm talking about her. Come on now, help me out. She's some of you got offended. I didn't mean it like that, guys. She's rather piggish. She's piggish in her character. Oh, she looks good. She looks good. But listen, you better look beyond her physical appearance. You better get down to her character. Because listen, that physical appearance can come and go. But who she really is on the inside, that's what matters. All right, nearly lost you on that one, but I'm here to tell you that's the truth. And he said this, she pleaseth me well. She's right in my eyes. Hey, let me help you here tonight. If you've got a secret little thing going on with some guy or some girl, hey, listen, I'm not naive to think that doesn't go on even in churches like your church, that your mom and dad may not know, your pastor may not know because of what you're doing on Instagram or Snapchat or any other platform, and you're communicating with somebody and your parents don't even know about it. Hey, let me tell you something tonight. You need to let your parents know up front about what's going on. You need to have approval. Young men, before you ever even talk to that girl in a way that goes beyond a friendship in a group, by the way, you shouldn't be alone with anybody except you're in a group. That's right. Did you get that? Amen. Don't be alone with your boyfriend or your girlfriend unless you're in a group. Amen. Don't be alone unless you're in a group. You got it? Write that down. Don't be alone unless you're in a group. And listen, what you need to do is include your parents and your spiritual leaders on the front end of that, because if you want it to be a happy marriage, you better be listening to God along the way. And God could use your parents or your spiritual leaders. If you don't have godly parents, they can still have common sense in your life and help you if you listen to them. But you need to be listening to your pastor, youth pastor, and let them help you to forego a whole lot of pain in your life. She pleaseth me well. And there he went. Watch this now. Down. He went down. And he kept going down. Oh, mercy. Hang on just a minute. Just think about this. He had all this spiritual advantage. He had all this spiritual advantage, and he threw it all away. Many of you have a spiritual advantage in the parents, in the school, and in the church that you have. But you better understand, you could waste your potential if you start pursuing your pleasures rather than your purpose. It started innocently. The Bible tells us that he just went through a vineyard. Big deal. A vineyard. What's a big deal about that? Why are you pointing that out? Big whoop. Big deal. It's a vineyard. Okay, wait a minute. He's got a Nazirite vow in his life. No strong drink. No wine. Where does wine come from? Vineyards. Grapes. He just went through a vineyard. Okay, listen. On a lighter note, if you're trying to lose weight, don't go to Krispy Kreme donuts. Y'all have Krispy Kreme up here? Dunkin' Donuts? What's your donuts up here? You got donuts up here? Okay. You know what I'm talking about, Krispy Kreme? In our place, Krispy Kreme, when the red light comes on, that means they're hot. You go in there, the glaze is coming on them. I'm pretty sure that's what manna was. Like Krispy Kreme donuts just falling down from heaven. You say, I'm trying to lose weight. I'm just going to go in and look at the donuts. I'm just going to go in and I'm just going to smell the donuts. Do you know that one smell is 100 calories? Just like that? That's all I'm going to do. Hey, you're not thinking right. Listen, if you're trying to be pure, there's websites you don't go to. If you're trying to be pure, you don't have a tablet or phone or computer in your room locked off by yourself. If you're trying to be pure, there's people you don't go online with and interact with. If you're trying to be pure, there's music you don't listen to because much of the music today is audio pornography. He just went through a vineyard. It seemed like a big deal. But while he's going through that vineyard, watch this. A lion comes and roars against him. And he grabbed that lion and he ripped him in half. Like he'd rip a little kid. Goat. Okay, wait. Why does the text show us that? Well, number one, he never would have been attacked by a lion if he hadn't been in the wrong place at the wrong time. Okay? A lot of the problems that are going to come to your life is because you put yourself there. Okay? But here he is, this lion attacks, and I think the text illustrates this. Here's a man of great potential because he just took it with his own bare hands and he just killed that lion. Threw him over to the side. Went on his way. I think he's walking pretty tough. Because if I ever killed a lion, I think I'd walk pretty tough. That's what he did. Watch this. He comes back. All right. Now he's already going through a vineyard. He's violating his Nazirite vow. He's getting away from his purpose for his pleasure. He's going to a Philistine woman. She's not for him. Number three, he's about to break another part of the vow. He looks and he says, huh, honey, in the carcass. How many of you like honey? Oh, my soul. I love honey. Just this morning, I took 2 spoonfuls by itself. I know that may be a little bit over the top, but I love honey. I mean, just energy and strength. If I get the feeling sick, I just honey up. And so he looked over there, and he saw a power bar. He saw the honey in the lion. And he went over there and he reached in the lion. You say, well, I don't think he touched it. Come on. It's in the carcass. He had to touch the honey. He had to touch the carcass, which, by the way, why would you want to eat honey out of a carcass? You ever think about that? I mean, do you ever really think about that? No? Let me help you think about that. I've got a friend, Brother Jeff Copes. He's Executive Vice President at Heartland Baptist Bible College. He's got me into deer hunting. I grew up hunting otherwise, but just kind of getting into deer hunting. I did a little bit when I was in Kentucky, but he got me more into it as I've been in Oklahoma, and we've killed some deer together. So this particular year, we killed an 8-point buck, both of us did, and they weren't massive. They were just, you know, necessarily that you would mount them on the wall, but maybe a European mount, so that's what we were going for. European mount is just the skull, you know, and so anyways, neither of us had ever done a European mount, and we never should have even tried. So we looked up online, you know, there's all kinds of things that you can do. You can, you know, get it hot, and you obviously got to cut the hide off and tear it off, and then you can get it, you know, in boiling water and take a pressure washer, and even that pressure from the pressure washer will just blow all that off of there. And so I said, all right, let's try it. So he hung those deer heads in a garbage bag in his barn for 3 weeks. We came back after 3 weeks, and I took my knife and began to cut. I know we just ate. I'll try not to go too far, but you got to get this. I began to cut, you know, pull that hide off, all that nastiness. I mean, it's just nasty. And I mean, it's rank. It's been there 3 weeks. And so I get all that off and get all that out, and we skip the step of the hot water. So I went straight to the pressure washer. And it's just a terrible, terrible. So, I mean, we tried and tried. Finally, we got a friend named Brother Jeremy Gilbert, and he does all kinds of taxidermy. He said, Brother Jeremy, you got to help us. And he knew we didn't have a clue what we were doing. And so anyways, we got it down to him after we froze it. And nasty anyway, you look at it, and he got it done, and it's on the wall. I said all that to say this, it's nasty just think about a carcass. I mean, you ever see a roadkill on the side of the road and it's just a poof. Legs just poof. I grew up in Kentucky, and every now and then you'd have what we call the paddy wagon. I don't know why it's called that, but anyways, you see this wagon going by and you see a cow poof. Like the legs all four poof. I can't do it, but poof. Just they're there, and the cow's all poof, bloated. So here's this lion. I don't know how long it's been, days, weeks, but I'm sure it's over there on the ground just poof. But in the midst of that poof, there's honey. And he goes over there and he gets some of that honey and he says, man, that's good. What's that? A little extra chewy stuff? Granola? Maggots probably in it by this time. Are you with me here? Why? I'm just trying to make a very clear point. Why would you want to, in your right mind, ever go to a carcass that has honey in it and eat out of that honey? Here's the deal. It was sweet, but it came out of something that was decaying. I'm not going to try to read more into it, but I think it's symbolic, somewhat of a picture, how Samson lived his life. Because I'll tell you, that sexual relationship that God gave between a husband and a wife is a sweet relationship. But listen, if you go outside of marriage for that sexual relationship, you'll find something sweet, but you're getting it out of a carcass. Whether that's through pornography, or whether that's through your phone, or whether that's through meeting up with somebody, you found something sweet. But why would you eat something sweet out of something that's decaying? Samson wasted his potential because he was pursuing his pleasure rather than his purpose. I'll say one more thing and we're done tonight. We're going to, God willing, just keep going back with Samson. You say, well, I've heard messages on Samson before. You're going to hear some more again. Because I think it's important for us. Because we're in a confused state in America. And we need young men and young women who know who God is and know what God's purpose for your life is. not what social media's purpose for your life is. But here I see one more thing from the text. He didn't tell his parents. He even let them eat of it. Acting like everything's okay. But he's far away from his purpose because he's engulfed in his pleasures. And when you get to chasing your own sensual pleasures, you have to hide things from your authorities. And you try to act like everything's normal. But deep down in your soul, you know it's not right. I think deep down in his soul, Samson knew it wasn't right. We'll see it when we come to chapter 16, because he says to Delilah, his third girlfriend at least, he says to her, from my mother's womb, I've been a Nazirite all my life. He knew what his purpose was, but he wasn't living for it. We want to encourage you here to live for God's purpose for your life. Let's stand together here tonight. Thank you for the way you've been listening. The pianist is going to come. I just want to encourage you, just from the very beginning, not to be inhibited by what's going on around. Just come to this altar. God spoke to your heart. Just go ahead and step out and say, God, I haven't been living for the purpose that you have for my life. Parents, pastors, listen, this is for all of us. You come ahead. Come ahead. They'll begin to play. God spoke to your heart. Are you living for your purpose, God's purpose for your life? Some of you have secret sin in your life you need to get out. You're wasting your potential. God's got potential for your life, but you're wasting it. Some of you are in friendships, relationships that you shouldn't be in, and you know it deep down. Dear God, help us in this invitation. Lord, thank you for the way that you gave liberty to preach. Thank you for every person that's here. Oh God, our great plea, our great desire is that we might be listening to you. Lord, help no one here shrug this off. If there's someone here that needs salvation, I pray you'd help them. If there's someone here that is saved, but they're not really living for you, I pray that you'd help them. If there's someone here that is living for you and you're calling them to serve you, then I pray you make that clear to them, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano begins to play, would you join these? God spoke to your heart. Would you come, those of you that are here, if you'd like somebody to pray with you, workers are here, maybe even just raise your hand where you are. We'd be glad to try to help somebody get your way. As the piano's playing, would you respond? Living in confusing times, but that doesn't mean you have to live a confusing life. God's clear. He's clear in His Word. He's clear about salvation. He's clear about the fact that you're created in His image. He's clear tonight about sexuality, about gender. He's clear about creation. God's clear. His purpose for our life is clear. Don't let your desires take you away from His purpose. As she continues to play, if you still need to respond, hey, listen, this is the main thing going on at camp, is letting God work in your heart.